new place. Yeah.
Stay. The band.
Yeah. The band? You're telling me stay last is weirdo?
Still not recording.
Oh, we are actually.
Oh, there we are.
Seconds. Hello and welcome to Bunta Vista, episode 316. I am Ben, and hello and welcome to Bunt de Vist, episode 316. I'm Benoit, and I'm here in America. Every day I'm waking up to eat 5 hamburger sandwich, kissing my hideous wife and children goodbye, riding my horse to work at Le Factory de Gun. With me is ordinary 21st century peasant Barnabas McGondle, who has Le Brain Bleed Ground from playing too much football American and lives in Idaho in the city of Poise. It's Theo. Bonjour, Theo.
Howdy.
You know, you have to do it in a French accent because we're doing an intro where we're the French version of Bunta Vista pretending to be Americans.
I thought you were a French guy visiting America.
French on. Yeah, no. I'm with it now.
I'm visiting America in my imagination as a French guy. And I'm also visiting France in my imagination as an Australian man. Oui, c'est bon.
C'est bon. I'm... Head de la merde. Poisson?
Oui. No, okay, so what I need you to do is I need you to riff about America from the perspective of a French person with a French accent.
Oh, oui. Bezabola?
Fuck. C'est bon. Oui. Aussi avec moi is regular American salaryman Ronald Smeet, who has never looked at a painting of a nude woman in his life, has no health insurance, and insists on only smoking those disgusting American-style filtered cigarettes. It's Andre. Bonjour, Andre.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
I cannot wait to finish my non-union job, where nobody does Le Riot. If we are forced to work 80 hours a week, then finally I can take my ugly wife. I do not have a mistress. I take my ugly wife to the latest movie Marvel.
The film de superhero.
I love the American art. I love the American art. And afterwards, maybe I take my disgusting wife to the Garden of the Olive.
I feel like I'm
getting more German. It's like,
the Garden of the Olive.
Olive Garden. Comes with me to the Olive Garden.
I will have one olive.
And will you smoke in restaurants?
No. I will not. They will not let me. They do not respect my freedom, despite their silly flag.
So I just put their retirement age up to 65 and I did nothing. I just sat there and that is a shame.
I did not set fire to a single policeman. In fact, I respect the policeman.
I kiss the policeman.
Oh, I love the police. I am American. Love the cops. Moi.
And Francois.
Last but not least, with me is the normal housewife American. Armpits completely shaved, holding 20 American babies named Brandt while driving a NASCAR to work at the missile factory. It's Lucille. Bonjour, Lucille.
Bonjour, Ben. Je m'appelle Mackenzie.
And you just know they are spelling it crazy, the Mackenzie as well.
I love the brunch. Oui. I love the monogamy.
Fidelity.
How you say monogamy?
How you say
monogamy? Fidelity. Corporationity.
Anyone else got any? Layered improv in them. Nope. Hey, you know what? Sometimes we run out of our own ideas. And we need people to send their ideas into us. I'm just saying that as a segue. We don't need you to send your ideas into us. But sometimes they do. And we listen to those ideas and we say them aloud.
Mm-hmm. We've discard most of them, like 95% of them.
Speak them into existence.
Yeah, I read them. I go, Yeah, that is quite interesting. And then I just sort of gaze into space for a little while. It's time for the Bunta Vista Hotline. 1-800-317-515. That's the Bunta Vista Hotline. 1-800-317-515. That's the Bunta Vista Hotline. You can send us an email. Mailbag at buntavista.com. Maybe DM us on Twitter. You could even message Facebook, but we don't really check the Facebook, yeah. 1-800-317-515, that's the Bunta Vista Hotline. 1-800-317-515, that's the Bunta Vista Hotline. So, the other day, I received a bit of mail in my letterbox addressed to me, which is how it got to me. It had a little opened by Australian Customs for inspection sticker on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
They feel really left out if they don't get a little peek.
They wanted a little peek.
Wouldn't that be so fun, just getting a little peek?
Oh, my God. Every desire you've ever had to be like, what's in there? I'm going to find out.
Yeah. We can just check.
Now. You want to look at that suitcase? Yes. I'm so glad you asked. I do.
Not only do I want to, but it's also my job.
Hey, they put one of those $3 padlocks on there? What are they hiding? Let's get in there. There's no way we can get through that. Wink. It came to me from Bradenton, Florida. Which is quite intriguing because I don't know.
Bradenton.
Anyone. Bradenton, that's right. Imagine the French guys from earlier saying that one. So it came with an invoice, which is interesting because I didn't buy anything from Florida, but it also came with a little letter addressed to me. Here we go. Hi, Ben. Thank you for the orders. I am not sure how the orders got split up into three different orders. In the future, maybe we can work this out better. If you order and wait for combined invoice, I might be able to ship all together. Please let me know how this arrives. Diane. I also received another letter. Sorry for the supply. No, for the shipping issues. Please contact me and we will work something out. Sorry, I've got another one here.
This is bizarre.
And this one says, thank you for your patience and understanding. Please contact me. That's your email address. And we can work out something. Interesting. Not sure about all that stuff, but it did come with some stuff. And I would love to tell you what these things are. I have in my hands a collection of 11 collectible cards. The first two are basketball players from Michigan State. From the black and white photos, I'm going to say these guys played in maybe like the 60s, the 50s, perhaps.
Can I ask a really quick question about this? I feel like it's the question that's on all of our lips,
mm-hmm.
which is, did you ask for any of these things from anywhere?
No, I have never ordered a trading card in my life off the internet. And these were a complete surprise to me.
And it's come to you at your address with your name.
Yes.
But you were a piece of shit enough to split it up into three invoices.
Yeah, somehow I managed to garble that. Well, it looks from her perspective, I garbled it, which just seems downright unfair. I have Dawn Dibble from Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Gent, also from Michigan State. Mm-hmm. I have one Topps card for people from the United States Olympic team.
Uh-huh.
Tyson Bottoms Gay. Sorry, what were you saying? What was that you were just saying, Theo?
Can you repeat that? I didn't hear it.
Interesting. I have four cards
Tyson
from the
Gay.
World Poker Tour Razor Poker collectible cards.
Okay.
Two here with relatively ordinary names that I think might have been chosen based on the photos, but this is an audio medium. Eric Seidel has an insane look on his face, I'll tell you that much.
Mm-hmm.
Sammy Farha, perhaps, might have been chosen because of his description. Although he doesn't smoke, Sammy Farah has a superstitious side and can easily be identified by his, quote, lucky unlit cigarette hanging from the corner of his mouth.
Yes.
Very cool. That's a cool thing to do.
Bring a bit of France to...
That's right.
That's unlit. He's not smoking that thing.
Yeah.
I will not light it, lest I be shot by la police. I will salute them as I die.
I have Ted Forrest. Nice name. Yeah. He's one. Ted is without question one of the most feared players in the game today.
The game of baseball?
No, poker.
Poker.
Yeah, ever since he brought a sword to the table.
That's right. Last poker player I have is Hoyt Corkins.
Hoyt Corkins.
He's from Glenwood, Alabama.
Hoyt Corkins. It works every way.
Finally, I have three cards that are from the... 8 seconds trading card series, which is Professional Bull Riders. I have Rocky McDonald.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful bull rider name.
I mean, if you're born Rocky McDonald, you're going to ride a bull. I also think you were going to ride a bull if you were born Ryan Dirt Eater.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. But a bad bull rider.
You're not going to be good at it.
Eating dirt. 7.6 seconds and he's eating dirt again. Classic Ryan Dirt Eater.
Sounds like the name they'd give to a wrestling jobber, you know, the no-name guys they bring out to lose.
Yeah. And here comes the Dirt Eater. Yeah. Fuck you, Dirt Eater.
Clive Dick Sucker.
And lastly, I have Skeeter Kingsolver. Oh.
Skeeter Kingsolver.
That is way too highbrow a name, I feel. Look, maybe it's a very intellectual sport. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
Skeeter
tough.
Kingsolver.
I'll say that much. Now, you could probably... The person who would have sent these to me, other than Diane, the person that garbled the order that got Diane to send them to me needs three things, basically. They need to know my home address.
Yeah.
To listen to this podcast and to have a perverse interest in very specific specialist trading cards.
Ben Nichols.
Tom Walker, I would say. I don't think... Yeah. Oh, no, Ben does listen to the podcast. I'm sorry, Ben. I take that back. Yeah,
I don't know your home address, so I failed two out of those. I've been to your house. I don't know the address.
That's an insane thing to say.
Yeah. I don't have to look up the address to your house because I just drive there.
Because
I've been over a bunch.
Just on vibes,
beautiful friendship. Yeah, yeah. Tom sent those in. That was Tom. Thanks, Tom.
Hey, can I? This is a bit unorthodox, but can I jump in on this segment just with a quick Punta Vista obituary? I've got two obituaries.
Viv?
Yeah, no. Oh. Viv is going strong.
Thank God.
93 this year. Now, we've got two obituaries here. First of all is the RIP to the American Major League Baseball outfielder Wayne Cummer.
Mm-hmm. No, that's not.
And also, sadly, we say goodbye to the American football linebacker Dick Butkus.
I knew you were going to say Dick Butkus. I've seen so many headlines with Dick Butkus in it this week.
I need you to spell Wayne Cummer for me, though.
That's Wayne spelt as Wayne's Wayne. World.
Mm-hmm.
And Cummer spelt Comer.
Mm-hmm. Rips.
Yeah. Old Wayne Sticky Hands Cummer, the greatest outfielder.
Cummer, all ye faithful. That funeral.
Is there a Mrs. Cummer?
Let me check.
Survived by.
Well, Deanne Cummer. Joyce. They have three sons: Timothy Wayne Cummer, Paul Allen Cummer, and Sean Christopher Cummer. Mm. He's survived by.
Probably, those are very funny.
Probably Comer, isn't it? But that's not very funny.
No. And getting things wrong to make them funnier is sort of part and parcel of podcasting.
Mm. Yeah, I only barely need to pretend that I know how things are actually pronounced. Because, I mean, it's well documented, my struggles with syllables.
And words.
And
generally.
Words.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm leading with it. I'm leaning in.
Yeah. If you keep doing it, you can just say that you're doing like a bit every time you mispronounce something.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you thought I deliberately mispronounced it, and it's actually, you sound stupid right now.
Do you think that I'd never heard the word tangential said out loud before? You idiot.
Moron. Oh,
this guy thinks my brain peaked when I was 20 years old, and it's been a constant downhill slide from then.
My brain's peaking right now.
Yeah.
Mostly with cortisol. Hey, if death can come for even Dick Butkus, then surely death can come for us all. That's a bad sign. And another segment where we look at bad signs is Omen's Importance. It's time for Omen's Importance.
You shall see hail fall from a clear sky and burn as fire upon the ground. You shall see darkness cover Egypt when the sun climbs high to noon. And you shall know that God is God, and bow down to his will.
This comes to us from the Associated Press. Nearly 1,000 migrating songbirds perish after crashing into windows at Chicago Exhibition Hall.
Oh, no.
Oh,
get out of that building.
Oh,
that's a bad vibe.
That's a super bad vibe.
Evil ley lines are converging underneath Chicago Exhibition Hall. Get out of there.
David Willard has been checking the grounds of Chicago's Lakefront Exhibition Center for dead birds for 40 years. What a life.
Yeah, I mean, it
what a life.
Take a break.
Take your kid to work day.
Get a different
one day,
job,
all
man.
This could be yours.
Yeah. Where are they going to find another dead bird guy, though?
Mm-hmm. On Thursday morning, he found something horrible as opposed to his normal dead bird route.
I don't think that's his only job.
Well, I like to think that
just,
it is.
He takes a lap
like
once a day to check for dead birds. He's not like all day, every
but
day.
But that takes him all day. It's like the it's like painting the Sydney Opera House bridge. But,
yeah, by the time you get around to the start again, four bridge. Birds of...
Yeah, the Sydney Opera the Opera House bridge, yeah, that one.
Yeah. I don't even think that saying refers specifically to the Sydney Harbour Bridge either. I think it was meant to be the Golden Gate Bridge originally.
Really?
I think so.
They probably copied that from us.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, it was big enough to get Magneto over to that island prison in X-Men 3 when he lifted the entire bridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true.
You guys remember that from X-Men 3, The Last Stand?
No.
I do, Ben.
Haven't seen it.
Thanks, Andrew.
Yeah. Anyway, he found something horrible on Thursday morning. Hundreds of dead songbirds, so thick they looked like a carpet.
Aww.
Now, he might have been tempted to lie down for a little mid-morning nap, but I don't think it'd feel good when you lay down on it. It'd be too crunchy. Nearly 1,000 songbirds perished during the night after crashing into the McCormick Place Lakeside Center's windows. The result, according to avian experts, of a deadly confluence of prime migration conditions, rain, and the low-slung exhibition hall's lights and window-lined walls. We should stop building stuff that kills all the animals.
I don't think
they
do it on purpose. I think if you're the architect that came up with this, you're like, ah. Fuck.
I
should have made the bird killer building.
Were the windows too clean? Like, that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, that's probably what
it
was.
I gotta bring,
like,
gotta
big
bring
old
my
clean
kids
windows.
Yeah. Give them a couple of donuts and then let them just stare near the windows for a while. Yeah. Yeah. Greasy.
Hey, you know what they love? They love yogurt. And standing up at the window, watch the garbage truck go past.
Standing near the Sony Bravia. Have a little yogurt, you know?
Yeah.
If a child's hand ever touched the screen of my TV, I would just lay down and
my
die.
Beloved Bravia.
I would stop eating. I'd be out. I tried to clean my TV screen the other day, and now in certain angles, I can see streaks on it if the sunlight's reflecting off it, and I just makes me want to walk into the ocean.
You and me will talk about cleaning a Sony Bravia properly later, Ben.
Please, thank you.
Yeah. What are we using on that? Are we using isopropyl?
We use water.
Water.
A little bit of vinegar, they say, is okay as well.
Really?
A lightly misted paper towel is all you need, my friend.
Yeah. But what if the paper towel's too scratchy and it scratches the surface of my...
Yeah, what if you've got greasy hands? My hands are pretty greasy.
Keep them on the outside of the paper.
Yes. Yeah, you don't want the paper behind your head TV screen.
Yeah, ideally keep the thing you're using to clean between the screen and your greasy mitts.
Yeah.
Quote, It was just like a carpet of dead birds at the windows there, said Willard, a retired bird division collections manager at the Chicago Field Museum, where his duties included administering, preserving, and cataloging the museum's collection of 500,000 bird specimens.
Oh, you dead bird guy.
As well as searching for bird strikes as part of migration research.
How is he doing that? I would like to know.
He's taking a lap of the building, because a bird strike is a bird whapping into something.
But he's at a different building. Yeah, he's at a different place.
Taking laps of different buildings.
He was previously at the Chicago Field Museum.
Retired director.
But is he just like calling out people being like, hey, did you have any bird strikes?
No, I think he's like the power meter guys. He's got a key.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You see the bird strike guy wandering around. Let him do his job. Make sure your dog is restrained.
Oh, my God. Sorry, I was just looking up bird strike before to make sure that it was what I thought it meant rather than birds protesting or anything, you know.
Yeah. On this podcast before, like when we did the roundup.
Unequal pay and whatever.
I just think that this is a funny thing to have up the front of this, which is 80% of all bird strikes go unreported.
Oh.
The birds are not reporting them.
I didn't realize I was supposed to report them.
I think most of them is just like a bird banging into a window and then going, oh, fuck, and they fly off, you know?
That's just made me think of the fucking the brass eye. Crimes we know about has gone up dramatically, but crimes we know nothing about has gone up even more. How do you know how many unreported bird strikes there are? They haven't been reported.
I've just put a picture. This is the main picture from Bird Strikes in Wikipedia that I've just put into the chat.
Oh my God.
Now, for the listener. No. This appears to be the cockpit of a jet, of a fighter jet.
Yeah.
And there is like the whole cockpit is cracked. All the glass is like very thoroughly spiderwebbed all over. And there's a huge blood stain on the very top of it, suggesting that maybe they've pulverized like an albatross or something.
A bird or multiple birds.
Has ceased to exist.
Oh, well, apparently there's a different... there's other categories of this. A bird strike, sometimes called bird strike, bird ingestion for an engine.
Oh yeah, I hate that.
we have discussed this on the podcast before. We've done a whole episode on just listing off the reports of bird strikes that happened in a year in Australia and the animal strikes that happened in a year in Australia. And we probably won't do them again because it's just a list of dead animals.
Did you cover tower kill though?
Is that where someone inside the tower is killed by a bird strike?
Tower kill is a phenomenon in which birds are killed by collisions with antenna towers.
Yeah. There's also... there's a kind of power generator called concentrated solar... with power, I guess it would be, where a bunch of mirrors all point at a central tower. Which is full of salt.
Oh, I love that shit. That's cool as fuck.
I know. They're cool, but they're not financially viable yet, and they probably never will be. We tried a whole bunch of them in like Spain and in Western USA. Sorry, I'm getting a little power nerdy here. But one of the things they do...
Power nerd out.
There's actually one down in South Australia as well. But... what they also do is cook birds.
Yeah.
Oh.
With like birds that fly through the concentrated, solar beams.
Just putting a big old magnifying glass.
Yeah, kind of like puff up in a big cloud of smoke and woof.
It's a shame that there are so many animal deaths induced by us either putting shit in the way of where they were always going before. Or also, just having too many lights in the wrong places that make them go, oh, I'm actually supposed to be over there. I was watching a video the other day of people helping baby puffins. Aww. I think it was baby puffins. All around wherever those islands are, where they...
The Faroe Islands?
Yeah, where they come and do their nesting and everything. And apparently it's the... when there's no moon out, when there's cloud cover from the moon, they get confused because there's lots of lights from a nearby city, and they go over there instead of going into the ocean. They're supposed to migrate back out to the ocean, and they're meant to see the light on the water from the moon. But when the moon's covered, they go, oh, we'll go over towards this light instead.
And that's just a skill issue.
Yeah. You know? And they wander into the town, and there was this video of, like, all these people, they just chase the puffins around, the little puffins around, and pick them up. And then what you are supposed to do with them is you take them down to the beach and overarm, hurl them like a baseball towards the ocean. And they just go whoop and start flying
that
and zip off.
So fun.
It sounds really
fun.
And you'd be doing something nice.
Yeah,
you know?
Imagine getting like good karma for just
hurling
a baby bird. Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, this is another Bunta Vista excursion we should crowdfund. We need to do the puffin worm hurling.
I want to hurl a puffin.
Yeah, we want to go out and compete in the worm grunting competition.
Worm grunting, puffin hurling.
Yeah,
yeah.
These are things that I remain convinced that we could get some. Some audience participation in sending us to these things, filming and recording some content. That's just my opinion. It's just my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah, and we're doing it for the birds.
That's so true. And the worms. We'll put the worms back when they come out. I think that'll be a condition of our entry, right? That none of us will eat the worms or anything.
We're not going to get the two things mixed up. We wouldn't start grunting at the puffin hurling festival and hurling at the worm grunting festival.
I might, just to be sure.
That'd be horrifying.
Quote, a normal night would be 0 to 15 dead birds.
Oh, my God.
A normal night for me is a hard 0 of dead birds.
Yeah, it's a standard 0.
Yeah.
It was just kind of shocking outlier compared to what we've experienced, Willard said. In 40 years of keeping track of what's happening at McCormick, we've never seen anything remotely on that scale. Researchers estimate that hundreds of millions of birds die in window strikes in the United States each year.
That checks out.
That's like, so many fucking birds, though.
Smash into a window and die.
I don't think I've seen that happen in like a decade, at least.
No? Yeah. Oh, okay.
It was very funny at our last house when I was sitting in the living room.
Go on.
I was sitting in the living room one day and had the shit scared out of me when, like, a full-sized sulfur-crested cockatoo just slammed into the front window in the room that I was sitting in.
Oh,
and it's only funny because it just flew off and was fine, you know. But the actual funny part was that there was a very clear... like, very clear, visible outline of where the bird had hit. Like, because they're so greasy.
And the sulfur.
You could see, like, the same shape of the bird's face, its body in profile, a wing. It was very cool. Only because it didn't die. If it died, I would have been like, oh.
If you're making, like, a low-budget... Screen Victoria or whatever funded Australian horror movie that's a metaphor for grief, really. And like there was a part where the protagonist thought she heard something in another room and it gets really tense. And then bam, sulfur crested cockatoo just slams into the window behind her. That'd
be
right. Perfect. That'd get you out.
And it'd be about grief.
It'd be about grief.
Yeah.
The movie's called The Cockatoo.
Yeah.
It's about grief.
Mm. That's right. It's like an evil, cursed cockatoo.
But she learns to live with the cockatoo. She learns to feed it grubs.
I hate those birds.
Their beaks are
so scary.
They've
got a negative energy.
Yeah.
If they know too much.
Yeah.
And they
got that forbidden knowledge.
Scream.
And that's why they're screaming, Ben.
Yeah.
Ah!
Mm. I've seen it all. Ah!
I've seen behind the veil.
Cockatoos can fuck off, though. They're always...
Low key for real? Cockatoos can fuck off.
Yeah. Low key for real. We were at our new house and I was thinking, oh, I haven't seen a lot of cockatoos around the yard since we've been here, which is fine because they will fuck your place up. And I saw a couple around the other day and then I went out onto the back deck and one of the wooden posts supporting the back deck just had this big, clean chunk of wood taken all the way out of it.
Oh.
That's their stim, Andrew.
They're stimming.
They're stimming by tearing big fucking chunks.
Self-crested cockatoos are neurodivergent.
They fucking love... They've got an oral fixation. They love chewing on shit.
Tearing chunks out of stuff, don't they? They absolutely will destroy your shit if you encourage too many of them to hang out around your place.
Yeah.
And that's why I say, go on, get...
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Get out of here. Scientists with the Smithsonian Conservation Biology Institute and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service released a study in 2014 that put the number between 365 million and 988 million birds annually.
You couldn't just round that up. You're at 988 million. You couldn't clean just billion? Be like, it's a clean billion.
Oh, so you've gone from, billion you've gone birds. From three significant digits to one is what you expect them to do.
Just make it cleaner. A billion dead birds.
Yeah.
Every year, because
what if they can't promise a billion?
It's just like max 988.
988. You're it's not really getting, there aren't you're enough not birds. Getting a billion this year.
I want a billion dead birds by 2024.
Everybody, leave your lights on at night. Keep your curtains open.
Towards a billion dead birds, 2024.
That's so fucked up. A billion is such a big number of birds just slamming into glass windows.
I feel like you need, you know those YouTube videos that are like explaining the scale of the solar system or like the depths of the ocean or whatever?
Yeah.
Need one of those for just like, this is what 10 dead birds looks like.
Yeah, this is what a ball of 1 billion dead birds looks like if you put it in Manhattan.
Yeah, that's right. If you put it next to the giant cube that's made of all the people on the planet and put it in Central Park. Maybe about the same size, actually. They wouldn't. Birds are smaller, and a billion is a smaller number than 7 billion.
Oh, that's so right. That's true, actually.
Although some birds are very big. Pelicans.
Pelicans are big, yeah.
Still smaller.
Still smaller.
Than a man.
The one that messes with me is the number of ants, which is due to, according to this recent census, I'm not sure how that
the
works.
Ant census?
Oh, knocking on the tiniest door in the world.
How many people you got back there?
Doesn't matter if they're not in my family. No, anyone that's there. Is it there, family, like, non-family?
Is it six times the biomass of people in ants?
It is estimated that there are 20 quadrillion ants worldwide.
Holy
which
fuck.
Is 2.5 million ants for every living human.
That sounds exactly like the thinking of an ant to me.
That's not a number, is it?
20
I did
quadrillion.
Engineering. I know all of the numbers.
They tell you every kind of number there is in like second year.
They do.
According to the New York Times, that's a 20 with 15 zeros following it.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was wrong. There's 20. How many ants per person did you say?
2.5 million to one human.
Per person. And those are my ants.
But
yeah, and you're entitled to them.
Yeah, go to your local fish and game office and collect your ants. So that there is around 12 megatons of ants.
Mm-hmm. Which is about the equivalent to two pyramids of Giza.
But that's a fifth as much biomass as people biomass. So we're winning.
Oh, so 25 million ants.
Oh, that's less.
2.5, sorry, million ants weighs less than a person.
Weighs 20% of a person? Now, those numbers are similar, so we can probably do some simplification there. Theo? Yep. This has been ant facts.
Sorry, I'm browsing the internet.
Yeah, okay.
All I'm saying
close
is...
Close that browser tab right now.
All I'm saying is we've got plenty of ants to lose in ant strikes. You know?
Yeah.
I'm guessing this
yes.
Yeah.
If we have to give up one species, let the ants hit the windows.
There's a carpet of ants when I went out there today.
Yeah. Yeah. That's generally that's how ants are often.
Carpet
like. They love
like.
Being all piled up.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Stacked up.
Just they like love it.
Climbing all
big,
over each other.
Big cuddle puddles going on in the old ant hill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, honey, check out the ant cuddle puddle in here.
One queen. Are they the biggest poly ecosystems, Lucy?
I guess so. What about bees? Do you think bees are poly?
I
I guess.
I guess so.
But they bloody love polygons.
They're simps.
Am I right?
You are right.
The honeycomb.
Regular polygons. Yeah. They love hexagons.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, do you think that makes Ben the Bunta Vista comedian of the week?
I don't think it does.
Not quite.
No.
Not bad enough.
Room for improvement.
We could get worse.
Do you reckon bees or ants glomp more?
I actually
don't know what that one means, thank God. Feels peaceful.
Glomping? That's the, you know, in the early 2000s, it's what you internet do to bishies. People would say that a lot.
Yeah.
You glomp someone by doing like a, I don't want to talk about
oh,
this.
Oh, like we're
I
doing
glomps
like,
you.
Like raw dinosaur stuff.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. Raw. Yeah. I has a spork.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what this means...
Don't Can I be fucking nice.
To booby hugs.
Yeah, to booby hugs. Plus, it must be so very random. It sees a penguin.
Yeah, I'll say this. Like it must be very nice to not know whether you can or cannot has a cheeseburger.
Yeah, that website's still going, by the way.
Fuck.
Ken has cheeseburger. I want to know what their most recent post is. Okay. Kenhas.cheeseburger.com. Saturday morning meme madness. Start this perfect day with the funniest cat memes of the week. Oh, they've turned
Ben,
into
can I just
fucking...
stop to ask, how do they spell perfect?
It's the way you'd expect, two R's and a U.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, they're still posting image macros.
Are they new ones or old ones?
They don't have a date on this post.
What kind of post? Describe the first post.
I would love to describe this post to you. So there's, there's a drop shadow on the text. So it's sort of like an advanced... image macro. There's a cat wearing an Xbox headset, and the top line reads, "Thanks for calling 911. How can I help you?" Just one letter U. Bottom text is generic kibble. Help is on way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Got it.
How do I find out when this was posted? If this was like a recent creation, I'm fucking thrilled.
Is it like finding out that there's people still at war, like believe the war's still going in like 1947?
Yes.
They're on that island over there. They're just posted like we haven't been through two webs since then.
Mm. Hey, can I read an annoying tweet that I saw yesterday that confused the fuck out of me?
Go on.
I haven't been tweeting in a while.
Sometimes you come across a group of millennials who are still living fully in the Master of None / Warby Parker era with their natural wines. These people must be treated gently, like Japanese soldiers who didn't know World War II was over.
The what?
You know when you guys were in your Warby Parker Master of None era?
I don't know who Warby
era?
Parker is.
Oh, no, I did watch,
but
I did watch Master of None.
I think I get the thing they're talking
Warby
about.
Warby Parker, I guess over here, they'd be talking about Oscar Wilde. They're talking about those like cheap glasses.
Barely a cultural touch point.
It's a strange one to point out.
Yeah.
I just didn't have a Master of None era, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think anyone did apart from Aziz Ansari.
Yeah, and
who
that era
made a lot of money from it.
Kind of over because of his actions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, there's nothing wrong with buying glasses net, that you think look
it don't
nice.
Come from my... I had a fucking lovely pet nat last night. Am I a Japanese soldier left over from World War II?
Yes.
Yeah,
because I had a wonderful Lada pet nat.
Ooh.
I don't know what the words are that you're saying.
Petite naturals means little titties.
Window strikes are an issue in almost every major U.S. city. Cities where it's not a problem, sound off.
Yeah, what's your secret?
That's so good.
It's probably all the cities where like the pollution is so bad they don't have birds anymore.
It's just like they get turned away like the boundary at Area X.
Oh, so further to Lucy's point here, birds don't see clear or reflective glass and don't understand that it's a lethal barrier. Skill issue.
Okay, I feel like the second half of that sentence is redundant. Like if they don't see it,
they wouldn't
understand anything about it.
How can you form an understanding about it?
Yeah. I don't think a bird has a concept of a window.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad. When they see plants or bushes through windows reflected on them, they head for them, killing themselves in the process. That's a
bummer. Do you think birds have a concept of 100th Window, the Massive Attack album? It's a bop. Massive Attack.
Birds that migrate at night, like sparrows and warblers, rely on the stars to navigate. Bright lights from buildings both attract and confuse them, leading to window strikes or birds flying around the lights until they die from exhaustion. A phenomenon known as fatal light attraction.
Sometimes we're all drawn to the wrong light. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Not me, but I get what you mean.
In 2017, for example, almost 400 passerines became disoriented in a Galveston, Texas skyscraper's floodlights and died in collisions with windows. Knock all the buildings down, in my opinion.
I love that the human civilization at this point is like a series of R-wells. Like, well, that's the price of doing business.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like how you can picture this is definitely like those fucked up modern office buildings that it's like they've got a window cleaner in every day.
Oh, they hit the dildo?
For like stylized whatever. Mm-hmm. Stop cleaning your windows. They don't need to be that clean.
No. Yeah. Let them get a little grubby.
No one's looking out.
No. They're too busy on their screens.
They're on their screens. No one's looking out the windows.
No one's looking at the beautiful Galveston, Texas skyline because they're watching Skibbity Toilet.
Skibbity Toilet.
Yeah, on their screens. It's fucking... Ugh, more
our neighbor just told Caitlin about Skibbity Toilet.
I don't know what that is. Is
she's this like Scooby-Doo Toilet episode?
Scooby-Doo
no,
toilet.
Honey. It's...
Is this for children?
Yeah.
Hey, Ben,
it's it's a Gmod thing, I think.
Okay.
Ben, can I just take issue with this reporting ever so slightly?
Yeah, I'll allow it.
Well, I was just looking at what our passerines, almost 400 passerines became disoriented. That is any bird of the order Passeriformes.
Mm-hmm. We all know that.
Which includes more than half of all bird species.
Oh, wow.
That's fucked up. They shouldn't be... They got to...
Got to be more specific than that.
They shouldn't be hogging it.
With more than 140 families and some 6,500 identified species, Passeriformes is the largest order of birds and among the most diverse clades of terrestrial vertebrates, representing 60% of birds. You're either going to have to narrow it down or you just say birds. 400 birds.
400 birds.
That's fine. You don't have to, fancy it up, you know? Conditions were ripe for a massive wave of songbird southern migration over Chicago on Wednesday evening, said Stan Temple, a retired University of Wisconsin-Madison wildlife ecology professor and avian expert. Small songbirds feed during the day and migrate at night to avoid air turbulence and predators. They've been waiting for northerly winds to give them a boost south, Temple said, but September saw unusually warm southern winds that kept birds in a holding pattern here. On Wednesday evening, a front swept south, providing a tailwind, and thousands of birds took to the skies. Nature's majesty, ready to be foiled by a bunch of pricks. That's us, humans.
Yeah.
Quote, you had all these birds that were just raring to go, but they've been held up with this weird September and October with temperatures way above normal. Again, probably nothing to do with us.
Don't look into it.
No, I don't think so. Don't think about it.
You had this huge pack of birds take off. And quote, the birds swept south over Chicago following the Lake Michigan shoreline and right into a maze of illuminated structures, Temple said. Pre-dawn rain forced the birds to drop to lower altitudes where they found McCormick's Place's lights still on, Willard said. According to the Field Museum's count, 964 birds died at the center.
Oof.
That's about 700 more than have been found at the center at any point in the last 40 years, Willard said. Members of 33 species died. Most of them were palm and yellow-rumped warblers. Fucking bullshit. They're not even shitbirds, you know?
Yeah.
If they were just like 400 pigeons died, 1,000 pigeons died, we'd all be like,
wow, pigeon slander. That's true, though.
No one would.
You want one to land on you, Lucy? Would you like one to walk over your stuff? Gross. Rats of the sky.
They are the rats of the sky.
Or perhaps a starling,
in my experience. Like, they're just always on there. They're not really doing stuff.
Pigeons? Or?
Yeah, they're barely flying ever. They're only flying if,
that's
like,
true.
Someone on a
they're
bike
just fucking
comes
around.
Quickly.
Not
pigeons
even using their wings.
Flight and they're wasting it.
Pigeons. Lazy.
Lazy.
Rats of the ground.
Compared to beautiful little yellow-rumped warblers, nice little songbirds.
God's perfect angels.
We're killing them all.
I think this is some satanic activity. Sorry, I don't believe that it's caused by climate change.
It's not anthropogenic climate change.
Something happened in that building.
Something occurred there.
Something
a
occurred.
Happening took place. A visitation.
A visitation, maybe.
Yes.
Happening.
I agree. I don't think just because we've completely fucked up all of the natural rhythms of the natural world that they would use to follow their normal processes, that that would cause a bunch of birds to die. I think it's because someone lit a bunch of black candles.
It doesn't mean that a portal wasn't opened within the bowels of the building.
Yes.
That called forth beautiful songbirds to their death.
I hope it was Hellboy that came through.
Because
at first you're like, oh, something came through. You're like, oh, don't worry, it's just Hellboy.
You mean you hope we at least got something good out of the trade?
Yeah, Hellboy. Yeah. I specifically hope that we got Hellboy out of this tragedy. I hope we have a Hellboy now.
Hey, check this out, everyone. Window strikes and fatal light attraction are easily preventable, said Anna Pigeon, an avian ecologist at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Did a pigeon say this?
Yes. Did a pigeon say this?
Oh, we've got a quote from it here.
Did a dot pigeon say this?
My God.
I am the Bunta Vista comedian of the week for piggybacking off Theo's joke. Ask, did you quantize those or are they in the grid au naturel?
Au naturel.
Oh, beautiful.
We talked about this on the remember I held up my launch key mini.
Well, no, I know that you did play it, but I didn't know whether you'd maybe smacked a little quantization on there afterwards. Just
they're fresh. It's like
incredible.
It's sort of like I was inspired by Burial. I don't know if you know, but he never quantizes or puts his drums on a grid. He's hitting him on the, he's triggering him himself. And I sort of felt, you know what, this is sort of my homage.
You wanted that purity.
My homage to Burial.
That's beautiful. It's like when you have a master potter who can throw a perfect bowl or plate every time, but then just puts a little thumbprint in there, just a little mark of the human.
That's right. Mm.
Because we are people, we're not machines. Yeah.
And I just want to say, if you are one of our listeners who really encourages us to play the entire Comedian of the Week stinger every time, despite how really openly antagonistic it is towards our listeners.
Audience hostile.
Yeah. And to the hosts as well.
Yeah.
We hope that you repay that kindness by going to patreon.com/BuntaVista and signing up for extra episodes of the show.
So we can buy Theo an even bigger MIDI keyboard.
Oh my God, so, I go crazy with power.
According to A. Pigeon, building managers can simply dim the lights, she cooed. And architects,
it's super fucked up that we put lights on skyscrapers forever.
So Cessnas don't hit them at night time.
Yeah. I don't respect Cessnas, though. Yeah.
Mm. Get a real plane.
They shouldn't be flying over cities so low anyway. You know, they should be minding their own business. New York City has taken to shutting off the twin beams of light, symbolizing the World Trade Center, for periods of time during its annual September 11 memorial ceremony to prevent birds from becoming trapped in the light shafts. You don't want to do a September 11 to the birds.
Yeah.
Irony.
Trapping them in shafts. That's
Oh, boy. Mm. You are the...
the National Audubon Society launched a program in 1999 called Lights Out, an effort to encourage urban centers to turn off or dim lights during migration months. Nearly 50 US and Canadian cities have joined the movement, including Toronto, New York, Boston, San Diego, Dallas, and Miami. Does New York get dark at nighttime now, does it? Didn't notice that happening. Chicago also participates in the Lights Out program. The city council in 2020 passed an ordinance requiring bird safety measures in new buildings, but has yet to implement the requirements.
I'll get around to it.
Yeah. No rush. It's only been 2 years. The first buildings at McCormick Place were constructed in 1959. McCafferty... Oh, I skipped ahead too far. Cynthia McCafferty, a spokesperson for McCormick Place, said the exhibition hall participates in Lights Out and interior lighting is turned off unless staff, clients, or visitors need it. She added that the center maintains a 6-acre bird sanctuary. We're helping some of them.
Yeah, that sounds like someone with a guilty conscience.
Mm. Yeah, sure does.
McCafferty said an event has been going on all week at the center, so the lights have been on while the building was occupied, but turned off when it wasn't. She said she wasn't sure what time the window strikes occurred or whether the center was occupied then. It's an odd building, Willard said of the exhibition center, looking very guilty. When it was built, people weren't thinking about bird safety. They still aren't in most architecture. It's right on the lakefront. There are many nights when it's lit up. People are describing the whole night of migration as part of a once-in-a-lifetime thing, but this is still an unacceptable intrusion by humans and their architecture. Just terribly sad and dramatic. End quote.
Hey, I don't want to lathe of heaven anything here, but what about, what if we sold bird strike offsets?
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Mm. You can get your beautiful architecture on the lake and feel good about it with our bird strike offsets.
Mm. Yeah, if okay.
On your tickets, you have to tick.
You pay like a dollar.
Dollar extra. No problem.
Would you like offset. To be bird strike neutral when you visit?
Are you bird strike neutral?
Hmm. Yeah. So not the extra 10% you've paid, we've hatched a couple of birds.
Yep, they are noisy miners, but it's still a bird.
I'm putting noisy miners on blast. They've been swooping my boy. He looks so hurt and confused, and he doesn't understand why they're doing it to him or what they're trying to do. Oh, and he doesn't attack them. He doesn't do anything. He just goes, why?
They're rude little dickheads.
They are cunts. Noisy miners, if you're listening to this, I'm coming for you.
Yeah.
Sometimes 1,000 birds hit your building overnight, and you have to sweep them all up. But sometimes they don't. And then you do a lap of the building and there's simply nothing to report. It's time for the Nothing to Report report.
It's the Nothing to Report 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 report. The Nothing to Report 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 report. The Nothing to Report 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 report. The Nothing to Report report. What happened? Nothing. Shh. So you should mind your fucking business. It's the
Nothing to Report, 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 report. Nothing to report, 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 report. Nothing to report, 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 report. Nothing to report, report.
This comes to us from KTVB, Theo.
Giving us so little to work with there.
Textured vegetable protein.
Yeah.
Yep, textured vegetable protein.
That's correct.
Yep.
From Boise, Idaho.
Cooking nothing.
I just don't.
The headline for us. A duck walks into a bar, but did she pay her bill?
Probably not.
How could a duck pay? They don't have a bank account.
They can't order.
KTVB, Idaho, you are the Pacifista Comedian of the Week. Sud's Tavern gets a lot of college students coming in for a bite of food and a drink. Yep. One bite of food, one drink.
College diet.
They're college kids and they have one Corona and they're out on the floor.
Yeah.
One bite of pizza.
College kids can't drink.
Putting the rest straight in the bin. But this may be the first time a duck has been a patron.
That's such a specific setup. A lot of college students come in to eat and drink, but also a duck walked in.
Maybe she is a Bronco fan? Question mark.
That's the car?
I believe that's the Boise State Broncos.
The Bronx.
Who
up
compete
the Bronx.
At Albertsons Stadium.
Yeah, go Broncos.
Maybe the duck is. I don't know. You should have asked. According to Sud's Tavern owner, Scott Burney, she just wandered in. Can they do that?
Yeah.
How else was she going to get inside?
Birds wander into businesses all the time. I feel crazy. They're always in there.
Yeah.
Quote, I turned around and she was just in there.
Also, a duck is not a newsworthy bird to be wandering into a business. Like a pelican?
Yeah.
Ostrich?
Holy fuck. Ostrich walks into your business? You call up the Associated Press. Yeah. You're like, you get the big dogs. New York Times, the grey lady.
That's right. Duck. You just go, huh, there's a duck in here.
Yeah.
Shoot. We were serving breakfast, so then a couple people started giving her toast, and she hung out for about 10 minutes and then walked out the front door and left. And
shouldn't
quote,
give her bread. Shouldn't have given her bread, you piece of shit.
She'll be right
you
back.
Piece of shit.
You're allowed to give them eggs?
Maybe.
I don't know if a duck would be interested in an egg.
Yeah.
I think my chickens eat their own eggs sometimes.
Do they?
Yeah, but chickens are fucked up little.
They are demons. Goblins, yeah. They'll eat whatever you got. A pigeon got into their coop recently. It flattened itself out and slid through like this
They're so dedicated to get it.
So dedicated to getting stuck in places.
Yeah, fucking stupid.
Yeah, there was this like tiny gap at the bottom of the coop where the cage. There's like a sort of flat ring of cage around the bottom of it that's flat to the ground.
I love that we've spent the last 45 minutes being like, our society should be more more kind to bird, more bird tolerance. It's fucking pigeon.
Kill them. Kill them all.
Got into the structure I built to hold my other birds, which I also
imprisoned
hold.
Birds, yeah. Anyway, flattened itself out, slid through there, and then immediately was like, oh, no, I'm in the cage now.
Yeah.
Flying around
like
crazy.
The dog that caught the car, hey?
But I do get surprised that the chooks don't just kill a smaller bird that gets in there and go, yum, 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 yum. Because they would. I've seen him do a number on some other animals. You know?
We had, for like 6 months, a quail that would visit our chickens every morning and just go out there and hang out with them and like eat their feed, that sort of stuff. And they were chill. They were chill with the quail. And eventually it disappeared, obviously eaten by a house cat or something. So RIP, Quimby or whatever your name was.
Spiritually similar bird, I guess.
Yeah.
Quote, I think the duck might have just wanted a beer, end quote.
Yeah.
Bloody comedians everywhere in this story.
Good gear, mate. That's
give the duck a beer then. I don't know what to
tell it's not
you.
Funny to just say that. What would be funny is to give the duck a beer.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not even original because, like, yeah, I think it's been done a bunch of times. Features in season 2 of The Wire.
Does it?
Yeah.
Giving the a
guy,
duck a beer?
Yeah, the Jeff Buckley-looking motherfucker brings his duck to a... And then I think the duck drinks a bunch of beer, dies, I think, maybe.
That seems like true to life. The Wire was very realistic.
Yeah, that's right. Is this art imitating life?
Yes.
Or is this life imitating art?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. If you know...
Now, the story continues. I want to be clear that this is no longer what Suds Tavern owner Scott Burney is saying. This is now what the writer from KTVB in Boise, Idaho is saying. Maybe she wanted a gray goose or a wild turkey.
Now, let me get this straight. Because this duck is a bird, the duck probably wanted to drink gray goose vodka. Or wild turkey bourbon? Is that a bourbon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they're bird names, and birds would choose the drink of a drink that has the name of a bird.
What about the grouse one? Isn't there alcohol called grouse?
Yeah, probably. I bet there's a really shitty Coles or Woolworths owned beer called grouse.
Yeah.
I bet. Dollars to donuts. I don't think that a bird has to drink something that's also a bird. In the name.
I don't think so either.
Lucy, are you talking about the famous grouse blended Scotch whiskey?
There you go. That's what I think he wanted.
That's another one they could have drunk.
Although I don't know if a duck is a grouse.
No.
It's certainly not a turkey and it's not a goose either. Yes. So those fucking stupid things to say.
Goose is probably the closest one, I feel. If we had to pick what of those birds is closest to a duck, I would say the goose is the closest.
Well, there's also Eagle Rare Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey.
Oh, we've had that at the bar before. That's good.
Fighting Cock Bourbon Whiskey.
What are you looking at?
Did you look up a list of bird-related liquors?
I have Googled alcohol bird name. we got Old Crow, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey.
A lot of Kentucky stuff in here.
Well, there's, I have also found an article from vinepair.com. From wild turkey to redbreast, why so many liquors are named after birds? Which, and really, this is just more damning of the KTVB writer who couldn't come up with more than just a simple grape
juice. Yeah, you idiot. Right?
Pathetic.
Asking your audience to know what Eagle Rare is probably like...
Well, they could have said maybe she wanted a chicken cock.
Maybe the duck came in there trolling for cock. Yeah.
Chicken cock.
Now that
brand.
Would have been funny.
Now that's comedy.
Chicken
what
cock
if the
straight
duck
bourbon
was
whiskey.
Cruising for chicken cock.
Yes.
Then we could all have a good clean laugh.
It's also Kentucky Owl Bourbon, Fighting Cock. There's a lot, you know?
Thanks, Andrew.
I think we could definitely add a couple more bonus minutes to this episode of naming bird-named alcohols.
Well, according to this article, too bad for this feathered female, she wasn't 21. Better duck next time.
Fuck off.
Better duck next time.
Better duck next time? Why?
Yeah.
Someone try and shoot her?
You'd better
Did
duck
someone
next
shoot
time.
Her?
For real, though, you'd better duck.
Duck next time, because I'm coming for you, bitch. Stay out of my bar. That was certainly a full episode of the podcast, Bunta Vista. We'll see you next week, unless you subscribe to the podcast. And then we'll see you again
in less time than that.
And if you don't, but you'd like to, consider subscribing. You get twice as much podcasts. Isn't that fun?
Yeah, it is fun.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.